Fields Talk 104.1. Hey, everybody. How's it going? My name is Nick Reed. Great Escape. Open for business reservations. You can make yours today. All-inclusive trip as we do the show live down in Cancun. The Kukulman Resort, re-resort there. It is a newer resort built in and open in 2022. It's a new one for us as well, November 9th through the 15th. And final payment's not due until July. You can join us for under $2,000 a person. That's all inclusive. That's the flight. That's 6 nights. That's the food. That's the beverages. That's everything you can imagine. And all the fun. All of the fun as well. Details at ksgf.com. Every year this Met Gala thing comes back around, the more just vile I find these people to be. Not because they're really rich and just live a lifestyle. They'll be wearing a dress that is more than the average annual income. Not because of that, but because of their elite attitude. And so many of these people whine and complain about how hard they have it in life. It's just disgusting. You know what the theme was this year? Black dandies. Black dandies. This is in reference to the post-slavery era in which black people in the United States would take on sort of as a sense of identification and to demonstrate, hey, we're not identified as slaves any longer. They would really dress up fancy in sort of a European way in order to distinguish themselves. And so that's what a dandy or a black dandy, black people specifically in the U.S., that would mimic that particular sort of style.
Did you see what Eric Adam wore? He wore a bedazzled suit that said end gun violence on the back.
Oh, that's all it takes? Oh, another very meaningful step forward.
All
I know.
Right.
What's, yeah, okay.
Yep. New York City's now safe.
That's right.
We've ended it.
But at least he's doing something.
That's right.
He's doing something. He's sending a message. Oh, is what the left loves to do. Send a message. Doesn't do anything. It's meaningless in terms of actual results. But look at me. Virtue signal. Kamala Harris was there.
Okay.
I mean, these folks that I love, they sit around Democrats and wring their hands over, how is it that we can reconnect with the working person? And then, I know, let's go to the Met Gala. Let's make a big showing there where, you know, I can have a clutch that is more than the average person's car in cost. That's really going to help us reconnect with all of these different voters that increasingly have felt as if we don't necessarily represent the working man. Gee, I wonder why. But just look at your behavior. Look at the people you choose to spend your time with. Look at the people whose mindset you share. And it's not about money. That's not what this is about. Yes, many of these people do have tremendous amounts of money, while, you know, acting as if middle class America needs to do more in terms of taxes and you know, so there's that appalling factor of it. But it's not the money factor. It's this elitist attitude. For example, Ocasio-Cortez was there. She took time off her oligarchy tour to go to the Met Gala. She and Bernie Sanders, you know, which most of their supporters don't even really know what they're talking about when they talk about oligarchy. But all that, you know, it's rich people. It's just railing on rich people. And this is a thing that is just so crazy about their followers, which they do act like cult followers. They will sit there and applaud somebody like Ocasio-Cortez for railing on the rich, for going out there and say, yeah, we need to really make them pay. And then they'll just talk about how wonderful she looks at this event that only the uber, uber wealthy can. That's all. It's just for the uber rich. The willingness of some people to be treated like dopes, to be treated like ignorant pawns, where they, the people like Ocasio-Cortez, they know that they can go out there and rail on rich people and then just without any sort of sense of shame, go show, oh yeah, these are my people. I'm going to go hang out with them. Oh, I'm going to walk the red carpet. I'm going to have my pictures taken with all of these, you know, multi-billionaire people, part of these billionaire industries. It's like no level of respect for the supporters, these supporters of hers. Al Sharpton, probably the most, in terms of results, successful anti-Semite that is still allowed in media today. He was there. Stop hate against Jews. Well, except for Al, you know, good old Al. This is a guy that led riots that resulted in Jews dying in New York. The riots led against Jews. On a network, MSNBC, that accuses the Trump administration of being anti-Semitic. It is, the visuals of it is so Hunger Games. These opulent, elite people that look down on the rest of us and scold the rest of us because, you know, we don't live our lives the way that they think that we should. And no shame about it whatsoever. No shame. I'm watching the you know, they've got clips of it running on the networks, the monitors we have here in the studio. And the theme is Black Dandy. And so, of course, they're showing all of these uber wealthy, multimillionaire. I'm sure probably all of them that they're showing are multimillionaires because a lot of entertainers. Black, all dressed up, designer outfits. And I'm the privileged one because I'm white. It's like reality is totally suspended. These people will run around complaining about how awful they have it in this country. What a racist country this is. I don't think so. If this country were as racist as you want to portray it, I don't think that you would be on the red carpet, wearing designer clothes, making multi-million dollar people begging for your autograph, wanting to be in your good graces, telling you how wonderful you are, heaping praise upon you. That's not how racism works. It's in this environment people like Michelle Obama complain about how horrible people of color have it in this country. Just spoiled, ungrateful. Spoiled, ungrateful people. Latest news update.
A good day to you from the Ozarks First Newsroom. I'm Mike Landis. There's some welcome news for thousands of people left in the dark following storms and tornadoes last week. Right now, all electric companies in the Ozarks are reporting zero outages. All the service has been restored. Well, tens of thousands of homes and businesses had been left in the dark, including 50,000 in Springfield alone. The city utilities has said it was the worst outage the city has seen since the 2007 ice storm. The U.S. Department of Education making it official, announcing this week student loan borrowers who don't pay on time could damage their credit scores and even have their wages garnished. Well, experts say impacted borrowers should take detailed records, including screenshots of their account and payment information, and they shouldn't hesitate to reach out to their members of Congress for casework help. I'm Mike Landis, Ozarks First News, Springfield.
And the first alert forecast from Ozarks First meteorologist Tom Schmidt, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Today we'll see partly sunny skies with a high near 74. Tonight mostly cloudy and then a chance for thunderstorms mainly after 4 a.m. with a low around 55. For your Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms will continue throughout the day with a high near 66. And looking ahead to Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and then a 70% chance for rain in the afternoon with a high near 68.
For your premier landscaping services in Ozark, whether you are a homeowner or business owner, Hunter Hardscapes and Outdoor Landscaping, outdoor living space design. They do the full designing as well. It's not simply, all right, 10 by 12 feet. Now we're going to go get some pavers and we'll lay it down for you. And ta-da, we're done in 2 days. No, we're talking about area of expertise, outdoor living space design. Whether you want something just simple or you want to accommodate others, you want it for yourself, or you want to have the ambiance of music and lighting, and it can make it as full Met Gala style as you want it, or as simple as you want it. Drainage solutions, landscape lighting, Hunter hardscape and outdoor, and so much more, and comprehensive property maintenance services as well. This is particularly valuable, again, if you are a business owner, but like me as a homeowner as well, taking some of that outdoor space and making it a living area. It's just like adding another room to your home, but it's outside. Hunter Hardscapes and Outdoor. You can find them at hunterhardscapes.com, ksgf.com, Nick's endorsements. I want to say it was a couple of weeks ago, Pete Buttigieg was out there talking about adoption. And he referenced the fact that you can get black babies at a discount, which is sort of a weird comment. And he said that while he suggested that adopting white children involve a list and a deposit on a fetus, while implying black children are adopted at a discount, like they're in the bargain bin or something. This is how Pete Buttigieg sees black babies. Buttigieg said on Flagrant, a podcast hosted by comedian Andrew Schultz, anyone who says race is not a thing in this country should experience an adoption process where there are literally different lists if you say you want a white kid only versus if you say that didn't matter. Literally a different list. The list for white kid only is longer. And not only that, there was actually a discount. Or you didn't have to pay a deposit on the fees. That is like how it works. I couldn't believe it. Well, apparently Pete Buttigieg is, as usual, completely wrong. There is a response to his comment that you can get black babies at a discount by the president of the National Council for Adoption. And I thought, well, this would be interesting to hear. Many of us aren't familiar with the adoption process, and here you have what many people believe could very well be, and it was in the past, a presidential contender claiming that in America you can buy black babies cheaper than white ones. Ryan Hanlon writes that former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg recently sparked a conversation about adoption with comments that described a list for white kids and paying a deposit on a fetus. While he offered some thoughtful reflection on parenting, these particular remarks and the media response they generated highlight a dangerous trend. The use of adoption as a proxy in broader cultural battles, often without context or accuracy. As someone who's worked with hundreds of adoption agencies and professionals across the country for decades, I can confidently say that these terms misrepresent how private adoption works. More importantly, when media narratives confuse or conflate key facts, the real harm falls on children and families. Oh, if you haven't picked up on it, this is going to be very shocking, but a lot of this is correcting the record that is confusing for a lot of people because of disinformation by the media and Pete Buttigieg. One of the most common forms of misinformation happens when conflating private domestic adoption with statistics from the U.S. foster care system. This conflation leads to false conclusions about racial disparities. Private domestic adoption, which typically involves the voluntary placement of infants by their birth parents, is a fundamentally different system from foster care where children are placed due to abuse, neglect, or other issues. The motivations, processes, and challenges differ profoundly between the two. Using data or dynamics from the foster care system to critique private adoption is not only misleading, it's comparing apples to oranges. Even more concerning are recent assertions that some adoption agencies have begun to lower the cost associated with adopting black babies. This is an unfounded and damaging claim. No credible agency bases its fees on the race of a child. To suggest otherwise is to malign the ethical professionals who work tirelessly to ensure every child is placed in a loving home. The comments by Buttigieg demonstrate ignorance on two essential aspects of private domestic adoption. First, in most cases, birth parents are choosing the adoptive parents. And second, there are far more hopeful adoptive parents waiting than there are newborns placed for adoption each year. Both of these points are worth a brief examination. Adoption has changed dramatically in the last few decades from past practices where expectant mothers had very little, if any, role in choosing the adoptive parents and even whether or not to place the child for adoption. Historically, her parents or other authority figures often made those decisions. That has shifted dramatically, with most moms now choosing the adoptive parents and usually maintaining a relationship with their child and the adoptive family after the placement, otherwise known as an open adoption. For mothers who do place for adoption, fewer than one-third say that race is even an important factor in choosing adoptive parents. But for those who want, they can factor racial consideration or any other preferences into their decision-making. And I can tell you, and this isn't going to be a shock for a lot of you, it isn't white parents that usually care about the race of the adoptive parents. In the U.S., only about 25,000 private domestic adoptions happen every year, yet hundreds of thousands of parents would be thrilled to grow their families this way. Because of this mismatch, there is no shortage of qualified families who are eager to adopt children of any race, ethnicity, and other attributes. These two factors, the birth parents being in the decision-making role of choosing the adoptive parents, coupled with the overabundance of hopeful adoptive parents relative to the number of newborns placed, create a dynamic in which birth parents can be choosy about who they want to be the parent for their child. It also means that adoption agencies would have no reason or incentive to charge less money for the placement of a black child. It is true that private domestic adoption, like all aspects of child welfare, faces real challenges, ranging from inconsistent pre- and post-adoption support to the need for stronger oversight and accountability. There is an essential place for conversations about race in adoption as well. Constructive criticism is welcome and necessary, and reform efforts are needed. For example, the Federal Trade Commission recently sent warning letters to 31 entities suspected of predatory practices such as misleading adoptive parents about the success rate and suppressing negative reviews online. Such actions deserve public scrutiny and reform. But reform has to begin with facts, not fiction. Mischaracterizations and sensational headlines about racial adoption lists both distract from real problems and stigmatize the people who have navigated the adoption process with good faith and integrity. Reducing adoption to a subject for culture war shorthand risks alienating families who deserve understanding and support. If we want to improve adoption in the U.S., we must pursue thoughtful, informed dialogue grounded in reality, not rhetoric. The lives and futures of children and families are too meaningful for anything less. Again, that's Ryan Harlan, president of the National Council for Adoption, correcting the disinformation campaign the media ran with after Pete Buttigieg falsely claimed that you can adopt black babies at a discounted rate. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Great Escape 2025 open for business. KSGF.com. Beautiful Cancun. In November, 9th through the 15th, just under 2,000 a person, junior suites, garden view, and that is going to cover the entire trip. You're talking about the airfare, you're talking about the taxes, you're talking about the food, you're talking about the experience, you're talking about transportation from the airport to the resort. We'll all go together in that way, and then once we get there, you're off to do what you want, hang out with us, or you know, be there as we do the show, or just go off on your own, explore Mexico if you want, the beautiful Cancun if you want to. The resort that we've got our junior suite reservations at. That is a resort that just opened a couple of years ago. So it's a brand new resort and we're just really looking forward to it. Final payment is not due until July. So you can put down your deposit now, spread out your payments over the next couple of months, and then come November, it'll just almost feel like it's not costing you a single thing. That money guilt thing, that budgeting. Have you ever done a vacation like that? All right, well, we can spend $112 every day. We have this one. You don't have to worry about any of that. 2025 Great Escape. The details, including how to get signed up at KSGF.com.
Springfield's Talk 104.1, your first alert forecast from Ozarks First meteorologist Tom Schmidt. Sponsored by Wolfpack Cleaners, your residential and commercial cleaning professionals. Today, we'll see partly sunny skies throughout the day with a high near 74. Tonight, mostly cloudy, and then we'll see a chance for thunderstorms mainly after 4 a.m. with a low around 55. Those showers and thunderstorms will continue throughout the day on Wednesday with a high near 66. And looking ahead to Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, and then we'll see a 70% chance for rain in the afternoon with a high near 68.
The end of last week, I reached out to the Lieutenant Governor's office asking if he could come on the program because I had observed a posting on social media in which he was expressing frustration as to how, and he can best characterize this, but this is what I inferred, how it was that specifically in the Senate, all of the, in the Missouri Senate, all of the what would be considered conservative values that voters expected, how they just weren't happening, and his level of frustration with that. And he has indicated that he is looking to be more involved in the activities in the Senate in order to presumably make some of these things happen and move forward. And you've got pushback, State Senator Cindy O'Loughlin. I think it's fair to characterize it almost as a little bit of a mocking tone to it. But we've got the Lieutenant Governor Wassinger with us this morning. Thank you for being with us. I hope I didn't mischaracterize anything. That was my inference from it. I thought, this is a complaint I've had for a long time. I think it was the beginning of this session. I heard, I don't even know who it was, but it was somebody talking about how this was the session that meaningful school choice was going to occur. And I did genuinely laugh out loud because I thought, okay, this will be the, it just seems like the conservative results never actually occur in any real meaningful way, yet we have no trouble raising taxes, expanding government. And so when I saw your comments, I thought, well, this is good to hear that somebody else may see things the way that I do, who's in a position of power. And so thank you for being with us and just give us your thoughts on that and what it is that you are looking to do in your position as Lieutenant Governor in order to perhaps change the way that the Senate operates.
Okay. First, thanks for having me on. And by the way, Mother's Day is this weekend. I want to remind everybody of that because I got it on my notes. So I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. There's not a more important job in the world than being a mom. So so I encourage people to make sure you don't forget to buy your flowers. It's on Mother's Day. But yeah, Nick, so I am new to this job. I have never held elective office before. I ran as a conservative outsider to shake things up in Jefferson City. Because I was frustrated, frankly, as you outlined, that we never get anything done in the state legislature. And you don't need to look any further than the Missouri Constitution. The Missouri Constitution is probably 50 times longer than the United States Constitution. And if you look what we passed, there were 8 constitutional amendments last November on the ballot. But some things, whether you're for or against them, marijuana, online gaming, online betting, these are now embedded in the Missouri Constitution. Those should be in the state statute. And the reason they're not is because the Missouri legislature is totally ineffective and doesn't get things done. I gave this job 100 days. I didn't want to come in and, tell everybody. So I put on my calendar, let's let this process roll out for 100 days, see if I'm missing something. But it really, give you an example, Nick. A week ago, Tuesday, so I preside over the Missouri State Senate as Missouri Lieutenant Governor. Each day you approve what's called a journal or the minutes. Like if you were in a meeting, we approve the minutes from the day before. So the minutes will read, President Wassinger presiding. Okay, that's yours truly, Lieutenant Governor. They debated for 2.5 hours whether it should be President Wassinger presiding or President David Wassinger presiding. So that is what you incur every day in the Missouri State Senate. And they just don't move these, so let me give you some low-hanging fruit that we should get done. DEI, there's just apples waiting to be picked on these big conservative issues, and they're just not getting done. So what these left-wing billionaires have noted that, and they put in, we were a pro-life state. You know, as of last November, they passed Amendment 3, which we're now a pro-abortion state. So now the legislature is trying to get that undone next week, which they may be successful in getting it back on the ballot where you have to vote again, you know, but it won't be done. So we'll be a pro-abortion state for a while. But they will then, after the conclusion of the session, assuming they even get Amendment 3, run around and get their Legislator of the Year awards. Well, we're just getting back to ground zero and not moving Missouri forward.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Wassinger. How, listen, I get it. I understand if you are somebody who is part of the establishment and you've been in there and you've learned the rules. And this is part of what Cindy O'Loughlin, and she made a post on social media essentially saying, listen, Lieutenant Governor, he doesn't get it. This is a very difficult place to navigate. And, you know, yes, he wants to make things better, but who doesn't? It just doesn't work that way. And I get that there are realities about how, quote, these things run. But it just seems to me that it's this continuing attitude of, well, that means we can't change it. That this is a way that's always been done, and we've had to deal with this system, and you can't just come along and try to make it better. We have to continue to do things the way that we've always done it. And I think that's what a lot of people, without even necessarily knowing what the nuances are here, they're just tired of that sort of attitude from the establishment that this is the way we've always done it. Don't come in and try to improve things.
Nick, you've hit it. You know, I've got a sign on my, actually, it's on my desk at the office. If you come, you or your listeners come visit me, there's a sign, because that is the most common answer, is because, why do we do this? Because we've always done it this way. Well, why have we always done it this way? You know what? That's a good question. I don't know how we've done it this way. Why? And so I have a sign on my, literally sitting on my desk, that has, we've always done it this way, with a X across it, you know, like do not say that answer in my office. And the other thing you get is these career politicians, these are, you know, they're the ruling class. They know better than the guy, you know, in Ozark, Missouri. They know better than, you know, they just don't know how things work around here. You know, we know better than them. So if you're in there long enough, you kind of get this elitist ruling class and mentality, where, you know, these folks in the Capitol, those people, you know, that were, they really don't understand how things work around here. You know, it's just this ruling, demeaning, arrogant, condescending attitude that you see that in Washington, D.C., and you'll also see that in Jefferson City.
You know, I understand and appreciate how it is that some of these people who run, they get elected and they, you know, are going to get in there and we're going to change things, make it for the better. And they get beat down. And she essentially says that in her piece. She says that every one of us came to the Senate with the belief that we know how things should be done and what the results will be once we provide our wisdom. This belief disappears after you get trounced a few times. And believe me, this will happen. It just seems like such a defeatist. I mean, it's like, and then she says at the end, lesson one, develop a personal relationship. This is sort of a message to you or anyone who wants to be disruptive. Develop a personal relationship with each senator and offer to help navigate what is an extremely complicated system. This is how you get something done. Ultimately, it's the only way. In a state that voted so overwhelmingly for Donald Trump, someone who refuses to do things the way that it's always been done because that's the only way to do it, it just seems as if there's such a detachment between some Missouri elected Republicans and what it is that Republican voters have overwhelmingly shown that they want when it comes to Republican leadership. And to me, this just smacks of it.
Well, Nick, again, I ran as an conservative outsider to shake things up. You know, I'm from Hannibal, Missouri, so I wanted to bring my values of faith, family, and frankly, common sense to the lieutenant governor's office. But this is a swamp. They are vicious. I mean, they fight back.
Yeah, yeah.
So they will beat you down. You've seen what they did to Trump. So President Trump endorsed me to be Missouri lieutenant governor. I think he viewed me as a fighter. who will fight the, but they fight back. The swamp, these lobbyists, special interests, the insiders, they're making a lot of money. You know, the guy in Ozark, Missouri, who's working his tail off, may not be, you know, these guys are making lots and lots of money. Last week, they had a budget bill in the dark of night, over 230 earmarks put on these bills, tens and tens of millions of dollars in the cloak of darkness, where they're ramming these special projects, Juneteenth celebrations, funding NPR. You know, they're doing this in the cloak of darkness. And, you know, they don't like me calling it out, and they're going to fight back. So, by the way, when your listeners read all the fake news about me, remember what they did to Trump. So if you try to shake it up a little bit, they will come after you.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Wassinger, and you mentioned about how brutal they can be and that they will come after you. O'Laughlin, she says as much, and I'll reread. This is from her posting, talking about those people who want to get in there and improve things. And she said, this belief disappears after you get trounced a few times. Believe me, this will happen. So she doesn't, she not only doesn't deny it, but just sort of presents it as this reality. And again, I get that this is the reality that she, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, has learned to operate within. It's also one of the reasons I think so many people, whether they're Americans or they're Missourians, just lose faith in elected officials because they go in talking about all of this change that they're going to do and that they are going to work on behalf of the constituents. But by the end, they're telling the newcomers, sit down, shut up. You don't know how it is. You got to learn just like I did that all of these promises you made, it's not going to happen. And so you just have to, you know, just play the game. And it's sad because that's why a lot of people just say, what's the point?
Yeah, Nick. So what they'll do is, so I wanted to, you know, not even, I have asked for ideas, see if they'll engage in the discussion about how we can, they refuse to engage a discussion about how we can revise these rules. And what they'll do, so they'll prohibit me from using the Senate staff. So these folks in leadership say, you cannot deal with David. So they'll begin, you know, they'll probably look at our budget, try to cut our budget. They'll do, you know, try to leak stories about, these people are vicious.
Yeah.
When they come, they're supposed to give me a script when, you know, give an idea what's coming up that day when I preside over. They'll stop giving me scripts. These people are vicious. And you have to be a fighter in order to take on. You've seen what Trump has been up against. I mean, these people do not want change. You know, this Jefferson City has been run by these lobbyists and special interests for years, and they don't want an outsider coming in to shake things up. And so that's starting, you're starting to see some of that pushback.
My mind, I keep hearing the phrase, who do you think you are? And that's what it feels that is the atmosphere aimed at somebody like you who is saying, hey, we can improve things. We can do things better. Just this sort of like, well, who do you think you are? Like we've run this country club for a while. We've paid our dues. You're some newcomer that has come in and all of a sudden you want to change the way that we do things. And I get that human reaction. And, you know, it's a cultural problem, I think, like I said, I understand how people get sucked under, but it's also at the same time, I think people who get sucked under, they have to understand that's why so many people lose faith in the people and they eventually tune candidates out because all Republican candidates say the same thing, at least in this part of the state of Missouri, when it comes to the primaries, that they're the conservative, they're the ones that's for smaller guys. And it's like, yeah, we've heard this 1,000 times. And then you turn into someone that tells somebody else, nope, that's not the way it's done. You have to learn like I did. It's just, I mean, I feel like I apologize and being somewhat repetitive at this point. Just frustrating for me as a voter, so I can only imagine what it's like for you. You go in there, and the way that I'm sure it's not a comfortable situation, and you're going in trying to do what it is that you ran to do and got elected to do and dealing with this own within your own party. I mean, it's not like the Democrats are in charge. You could understand that, but it was within your own party trying to prevent this from, you know, these improvements from occurring.
You know, but emboldens me is I get so many requests and thanks from the grassroots. And if you can keep me in your prayers, I actually feel prayers and the grassroots just, you know, love this stuff. And don't lose faith. There are a few state senators that have come in and recognize it is a totally dysfunctional body, and they want to sit down. We frankly probably need to get some new senators in before anything gets done. So this is a question, you know, you may want to ask or call your state senator and ask them where they are on this. Or if you see them out, you know, at the grocery store, at a Lincoln Days event, ask them if they're in favor of changing the rules. And if they're not, you know, frankly, they need to take a hard look in the mirror.
Well, I know a lot of our listeners are somewhat familiar with this feeling, given that Mike Moon is a state senator that represents much of the listening area and the treatment he has received from the establishment. So listeners in this area are pretty accustomed to hearing from some of these few elected Republicans that are pushing back against the establishment. Well, I just want to one last question. So I know you have said, listen, we need to do so. We need to put some new rules into effect here in order to make things run more efficiently and so that we can have better outcomes. And it appears as if the answer is no, we're not going to. So what happens now?
Well, you say that. Senator Moon was one of the, so I'm going to call him out. He's one of the senators that came into my office yesterday. So he recognizes the need for change.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not a voice in the wilderness. You know, is it going to happen overnight? It's really your listeners and your voters. They need to pin these career politicians down. And, you know, I'm just a voice, as I say, for the forgotten man and woman in Missouri. You know, I'm not a voice for the lobbyist and special interest. So I've just, but God has blessed me, along with Missourians, with a platform, you know, to voice these concerns. But really, it's the voters and we the people that need to get out and get these career politicians either on board or out. And I appreciate Senator Moon coming in yesterday. We've had a few other state senators recognize this body's dysfunctional. So we really need your listeners and your voters to get out, really ask these state senators if they think the state Senate is being functional. I think probably not, it's a 95% issue probably, you know, where it is not functional. If you think this is a functioning body, you've probably been in there too long, or you're a lobbyist or special interest.
Missouri Lieutenant Governor Wassinger, thank you. Appreciate your time this morning. And next time you're in Springfield, stop by.
I'm going to buy you breakfast at Scrambler's Restaurant,
okay,
if you'll be me. As soon as this gets done, guess where I'm headed? In 2 weeks, I'm headed to Springfield,
okay,
Missouri, literally the Monday after I get done with this legislative session. So that'll be in 2 weeks. And I can't tell you how much I want to get down to Springfield and get out of this swamp. So look forward to seeing you.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Thank you, Nick. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Again, thank the Lieutenant Governor for joining us. And this, the other side of this conflict, if you will, is somewhat represented by Senator Cindy O'Loughlin, because she's posted on social media a response to much of what he's doing. And, this isn't about good guy, bad guy. I don't know that I've ever even met O'Loughlin. So, I can't tell you motivation. I understand. I don't know what going in, what her attitude was. But I recognize how people that go in wanting to make positive change and campaigning on it, right? I mean, they campaign, we're going to change. And after a few years, they're the ones stopping the change. No, this is the way it's done. This is the only way you can do it. And that's what her argument is in her posting, that you will get smacked down and that you have to, it's all about who you know, personal relationships, and that's the only way you're going to get something done. I'm not unrealistic in understanding, and that's human nature, any organization that you have. When somebody new comes in, any business, I mean, if you've ever worked for a company and you have somebody come in and they're talking about all these great new things that are going to change the way things are done, usually about 80% of the people have a problem with it. Because, who are you? You don't know how things are done here. But the one thing I can tell you is the perception from people, it's just, hey, what's the point? When they see that there is this resignation to the way that this is just how it is, so don't even try. It's very deflating, and it causes people to disengage. And I would like to think that for any elected official, if you take a moment and reflect on the fact that you make voters just say, what's the point? That your presentation is one that makes voters not want to participate and think it really doesn't matter whether, you know, who's in charge, because they're all just going to say this is the way it is. That should be very disheartening to the lawmaker if they're in there for the right reason, to make the people lose faith. And it's also the attitude that is how Donald Trump became not only so popular, but ended up overwhelmingly winning the last election, because people are tired of that defeatist attitude of, nope, you can't do it that way. There's only one way to do it, and this is it. If anyone is the antithesis of that, it's Donald Trump. And again, in a state like Missouri, where he so overwhelmingly won, yet you have Republicans who are in charge in many instances like this that are the opposite of what it is that people have demonstrated they want through their vote for Donald Trump. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Pinnaker Honda, the brand new facility, showroom floor, and new service area officially open doing business. Big grand opening stuff, additional $1,000 towards your trade on select retailable vehicles. Of course, they'll have all the details for that. So you look at it this way, whatever your trade in value, slap an extra $1,000 on it. In some of those instances, you can just stop by. They're the great folks over there. Right now, leasing wise, 2025 Honda HRV, $199 a month. Same for a new Civic, $199 a month lease. And free fuel for the summer when you purchase a new vehicle at Pinnaker Honda. So that's not a bad deal as well. So just swing on over there. South Campbell. On Fridays, they have food trucks as well. Something to keep in mind. If perhaps your lunch break is the easiest time to check out what could be your next new vehicle, you can have lunch while you're there also. That is Pinnaker Honda, South Campbell, just south of Walnut Lawn. If you miss any of the program, any of the 2 hours that we're just wrapping up here, of course, podcast form will be up at ksgf.com, Spotify, iTunes. We still have another hour ahead. And we'll, of course, always stream that at ksgf.com as well. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.